but Lord willing, I guess she's planning to be back. And Ann and I feel the same way. We've had to leave for a little season as well. And who knows what another year will bring. We're just looking to the Lord for his direction. So if you're just joining us today and you have a Bible, we're going to give the final message of a verse that we started a few weeks ago, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Sometimes we make a joke about how to find 2 Chronicles in your Bible. It's where the pages are still stuck together. A lot of people don't read 2 Chronicles. But anyhow, if you can find 2 Chronicles, we're talking about what to do in times of, well, let's just be honest, judgment. What to do in times of pestilence and pandemics. What to do when God has rattled your cage and got your attention. What would I do? And the verse that we have been talking on for a few weeks is found in that context. Solomon has finished the house of the Lord, the king's house, his own house and the house of the Lord. And we're getting some instructions. How the people turn away from God, I want you to notice verse 13 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. And the Lord says, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Well, in that case, when pestilence came back in 2 Samuel 24, 70,000 people died. Well, I heard just this past week, 200,000 have died in the United States. Now, don't say Joe said God sent pestilence. I'm not sure exactly how all that unpacks, but I know this, it's a wake-up call. And we need to perk up, sit up, straighten up, look up, listen. What's happening? And as we suggested last week, whether it's your life or the life of your family or the life of the church, your assembly where you gather, or the town, the city, or the nation, God is speaking, and God always has the answers. And if you don't know what to do, read your Bible. If you say, I don't know where to go or what to do, listen to the Almighty. He has the answers. Be careful about listening to the world system. The world system is what we are warned against loving in 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, that's the system, or the things in the world. Okay, we're warned against that. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said, I got a new commandment. You love your neighbor like I loved you. That's even a higher calling. So, if you need a revival, stay with us this morning. If you need to know what to do when hard times come, just hang in here with us this morning, because we have five elements of revival in this one verse. We got things that God says, I want you to do. Then we got things that God says, if you do that, I'll do this. And so let me read the verse for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Now for you, who are a little more cautious about taking Old Testament passages, just let me remind you, I know it's Old Testament, okay? I know it's written to Israel, okay? I know the context is Solomon, okay? But we're going to take the principles and apply them to our life. These are timeless principles. They're not outdated, these principles. And the principles that worked for Israel so many centuries ago will work for you, your family, your church, your city, your country, your nation today, because they are timeless principles. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal, did you get it? Heal their land. Now, we've worked our way down through the passage to the almost to the end. Let me remind you, the five elements of revival is God's plan for what we do. And then God says, if you respond to that, then I'll tell you what I will do. I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal the land. That's God's part. But let's look at the five elements. Number one, if you're going to have a revival, or if you're going to be encouraged in your own heart, if you're going to be in a state where you're fit for the master's use, or if you want to be in a place where you're reaching out to God, you've never been saved before, these elements, these characteristics, these responses to the things around us will work for you. They are principles. Number one, realize who you are. You say, what do you mean? I mean, like, realize who you are. Here, if my people are called by my name, God's people was Israel. They were called by God's name. They were the people of God, the chosen people of God. Okay. Now, we're not Israel. But listen, do you know who you are? Could you say the Lord is my shepherd? Could you say that? I mean, do you know what that means? Are you a child of God? You got to know who you are. You either are or you are not. There's no, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, you're not. And you need to know. Yeah, this is not something you guess. It's not like drawing the short straw. It's like, do I know who I am? Am I a child of God or not? The God of this world, the Bible is very clear, has blinded the minds of those that believe not, so they can't see the light, so they can't be saved. They can't respond to the gospel. So are you a child of God? Have you humbled yourself? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Did you say, I'm the sinner, he's the Savior. I believe he died for me, buried for me, risen for me, coming again for me. Do you know that? You know who you are. If you say, I've been saved, I'm a child of God. Well, let me ask you this. Are you acting like it? Do you take your guideline from the Word of God or from Hollywood, Wall Street, big screen, internet? Come on. If you know who you are, then act like the name Christian, Christ one. Know who you are. Number two, you know who God is. How big is your God? My people who are called by my name humble themselves. Humility is not posture. It is a state of heart. The word means make yourself low. And again, I remind you, the littler I am, the bigger God is. The bigger I am, I puff myself up, the littler God is. My people called by my name humble themselves. So we need to recognize who God is. The Lord Jesus humbled himself. What a great example was that. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so not only who I am, I need to know who God is, how big God is, what God has done, but then I need to evaluate, or could I say re-evaluate prayer. My people call by my name, humble themselves, pray. Dear friend, you're listening today, when's the last time you prayed? I don't mean the last time you heard a prayer. Not the last time you heard somebody else pray. When's the last time you prayed? Do you make that a habit as a child of God? You know, prayer shows your dependence on God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is communicating to God. God speaks to us. You say, how does he do that? In his word. Read the Bible. God speaks to you. You pray, you speak to God. And so they need to pray. The people of God need to pray. We talked about that. And then notice last week we said, not only pray, but seek my face. That's an awesome thing, to seek the face of God. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden ran away. Your translation will say, they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden from the presence of the Lord. Your Hebrew Bible will say they hid themselves from the face of God. Do you know that your sin will hide God's face from you? And so we talked about the reverence that we need for God. You want to seek God's face? That means you want to seek his will. That means you're going to face the music. You're going to say, well, I need to know what God thinks. I reminded you last week that facial expressions communicate incredibly well. You can say, I love you with a smile. You can say, I hate you with a wrinkled brow and gritted teeth and evil eyes. You don't have to say a word. What would God's expression be if you dare would look into the face of the living God? You say, well, we can't really see God. No man has seen God and lived. I say, well, I tell you what. Jesus said, I am the image of the invisible God. Oh, dear friend, to seek the will of God is to seek his approval, to seek his evaluation, to be willing to face the consequences and have it all made right. And so it brings us to our last element in this little chain of things that we are to do. We're to know who we are. We're to know who God is. We're to pray. We are to seek his face. And then I want you to notice this, and turn from your wicked ways. You say, well, I knew it was coming. Yeah, well, it's coming. It's always coming. The people of God, even though they were the chosen people, Israel, or whether it's the people of God, born again Christians today, you say, well, certainly they don't have to turn from their wicked ways. They're Christians. They're saved. Uh-huh. Really? Are you trying to tell me that since you've been a Christian, you've never failed, you've never stumbled, you've never sinned, there's nothing, you don't need any repentance? Well, of course you do. Of course. We are saved by grace. We are saved by the mercy and grace of God. We are saved by faith and not by works. But I can tell you, a faith that saves is a faith that works. And as you and I develop, as we work for the Lord, serve the Lord, be obedient to the Lord, sometimes we just don't do it right. Do you ever say, I wish I'd never said that? Do you ever say, I wish I'd never done that? I mean, as a Christian, it's amazing. Romans 13, to believers, the Apostle Paul writes, wake up, cast off the works of darkness. To Christians, put on the armor of light. Walk honestly as in the day. Listen, to Christians, not in rioting and drunkenness and chamberings and wantonness, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Christians. Old Testament, same thing. To the believer, turn from your wicked ways. Now watch your Bible, because I'm going to show you a principle here, and you need to get this, because there's so much misunderstanding about the word repent. I've heard people say now, if you want to come to Christ, you got to repent. You got to turn from your sins, and you've got to trust the Lord. I say, whoop, hold it. You already missed it right there. That's not the order. The order is in this verse, and the order is in the New Testament. The order is seek God first, then turn from your wicked way. Did you get that? That's what it says. Pray, seek my face, as turning to God, and then do what? Turn from your wicked ways. Watch this. If I could turn from my wicked ways, I don't need God. If I could straighten my own life up, if I could just do better, if I could just deal with my own problems and just turn around and start doing what is good and what is right, and what, I can't do that. And the scriptures are very clear when it comes to repentance. Repentance, now watch this. Repentance is turning to God, seeking God. And when I turn to God, I got my back on my old life. Repentance means turn around, go in the other direction. Repentance means change your mind. So, dear friend, let me tell you, whatever you thought about God, about Jesus, and about salvation before you were saved, are you with me on this? Whatever you thought about God or Jesus or salvation before you were saved, are you with me? Was wrong. You weren't saved. That was wrong. So you got to change your mind. You got to say, God's right and I'm wrong. So what is repentance? Repentance is saying, God says that I need to trust Jesus, so I'm going to trust Jesus. God says I'm the sinner. God says judgment's going to fall on me. God said, I have a new life. My son came, died. I am going to turn to God. And when I turn to whatever direction I was going in before that moment was the wrong direction. And so I turn to God, and now my back is on my old life. So in here, it's just so clear. My people, by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face. Okay. Got God in the crosshairs, okay? I got God in front of me. I am willing to do the will of God. I am willing to give God the benefit of the doubt. I am seeking the face of God. And now, okay, by the grace of God, what can I do? Turn from my wicked ways. Now I got strength. Now I got God's help. Now I got things in priority. Paul wrote to the Christians in a little town called Thessalonica, if you're taking notes, chapter 1, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians. And he makes it so clear. He puts it like this. He said, I know you. I know what you have done. Listen to it. How that you turn to God from idols. Did you get that? You turn to God from idols. He didn't say, oh, I know what you guys did. You got rid of all of your idols. And then once you got yourself in great standing here and got rid of all that bad stuff, sin and idols in your life, then you're going to seek God. No, that's wrong. You can't do it. It's an endless merry-go-round. You can never get yourself in a position to be saved. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, I come, just like the prodigal son coming home. He just been in the pig pen. He doesn't look good. He doesn't smell good. In all of his filth and all of his rags, where's he going? I'm going home. I'm going to the, turned his face to God, turned his face to the Father. How, listen to it again, how you turn to God from idols. He didn't say, I'm so happy you turned from idols to God. They didn't do that. They don't have the strength to do that. You cannot beat sin in your own self. You can't do it. But if you turn to God, he'll give you the grace to do it. He'll give you a new life to do it. He'll change your life around to do it. And so here we've got this last element. Turn from your wicked ways. Okay, listen, let me ask you this. Could you think right now of any wicked way in your life? Now, don't nod your head, it'll be embarrassing. Okay. Of course you know. There's nobody perfect. Of course you got, okay, you say, well, I'm not that bad. Okay, well, not that bad. How bad is that? Let me speak, first of all, to the unbeliever. You're not a Christian yet. You see, the first thing you got to do is not name all of your sins, because you wouldn't even know them all and you'd forget them. You could try, but you wouldn't do it. So what you have to do is say, my whole life is sin. My whole life is wrong. Everything's wrong. You say, oh, I went to church for so many. What does it all matter? You can go to church till you get fuzzy. That won't save you. You can't get your sins forgiven going to church. I'm glad you go. But you got to say, I have offended a holy and a righteous God, and I am in trouble. Therefore, I need to turn to God. That's what you do, and trust Christ. But what about the believer? Here's a child of God. They either slipped and they've fallen, they got weakness in their life, they fell back into an old habit, or they have a moral problem or mind problem, or I don't know. How do you turn from that? Well, if you're taking notes, write it down. 1 John 1:9, New Testament, Jesus said, John the Apostle said, if we confess our sins, he included himself, John the Apostle, John the Beloved, leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus. He said, if we confess our sins, he, the Lord Jesus, faithful and just, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's for the believer. That's not to be saved. You would never remember all of your sins. And if by the time you got to the end of the list, you would have committed some more already. So this is for the believer. You say, well, how do I know what to confess? What the Spirit of God has convicted you of. King David, Psalm 51, read it. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You know, every time David closed his eyes, you know what he saw? Bathsheba on the roof, bathing. He saw her husband on the front lines. He had him killed. Withdraw the troops. David had sinned. A year later, Nathan the prophet comes along and said, David, you are the man. And he says, I know no torture can the poet name to match the fierce, unutterable pain of him who day and night, devoid of rest, carries his own accuser within his breast. You can't get away from it. You try to forget it, and I'll come along and preach on it, or some other preacher will. You try to forget it, and you can't. You lay down at night, and you go, oh, God, I haven't dealt with that problem in my life. Turn from your wicked. How do you do that? Confess it to God. Forsake it. Say, oh, God, I can't break the habit. God, I can't deal with it. I have tried, and I have tried, and I cannot, and I need help, God says. That's about time. I'm willing to help you. With Christ, all things are possible. You are a new creature in Christ. You have a new life. You have a new foundation. You don't build on rubble of the old life. You get a brand new foundation. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. So turn. Turn. Which way do I go? To God. That's it. To God. To God. From your sins. And what will he do? This is the key to the whole verse, really. What will he do? I want you to notice, he said he'd do three things. If you do that, if you mean that, you do that, You fall on your face and cry out to God, let me tell you what he'll do. Notice, first thing he would do, I'll hear. You mean God doesn't hear? Well, God can hear anything he wants to, and he can refuse to hear whatever he wants to. You know how a kid sometimes tries to get the parents' attention. The parents are busy, yada, 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 over here. And the kid finally grabs the parents like this and says, makes them look. You see, God's like that when you got unconfessed sin in your life. He won't hear you. He won't hear you. If I regard iniquity, he won't hear me. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear you. Oh, but when you turn, he hears you. When you seek the face, when you turn to God, when you turn from your wicked ways, he said, all right, I'm with you now. You ready to deal with this? I'm ready to help you. Let us reason together, says the Lord. So the first thing he says, I'm going to hear from heaven now. Door is open. Communication is back. I'm so glad you admitted your sin, confessed your sin, dealing with your sin. You haven't seen what I can do yet. I've been waiting on you. And so the first thing he says, I'm going to hear. You see, it don't matter what time it is. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he never slumbers or sleeps. He's 24 hours. When you're ready to deal with that, you call on the Lord, and he's ready to hear from heaven. Second, I want you to notice, and he said, not only will I hear from heaven, but I will forgive their sin. There is nobody in the universe that can forgive your sin but God. That's the reason they tried to kill Jesus. Because Jesus said, I can forgive sins. And they tried to kill him because they said, you make yourself equal with God. Only God can forgive sins. What they didn't know was that was God in the flesh talking to them. The invisible image. The Jesus is the image of the invisible God standing right in front of them. So he said, I'll forgive you of your sin. Listen, you can't forgive yourself of your sins. Your mother can't forgive you of your sin. Your father can't. Your brothers, your children, your priest, your pastor, your reverend. They can't forgive. The Pope, he cannot forgive you of your sin. He cannot. There's only one person, and that's God Almighty. But if you're serious, he will forgive your sin. He'll forgive your sins and save you if you're not saved. He'll forgive your sins and restore, listen to me, fellowship, not relationship. You never cease to be a child of God if you are a child of God. But sometimes your walk is blurred. Sometimes you can't walk together with God because you haven't confessed your sins yet as a Christian. So he can restore that fellowship with you. Only God can forgive sin. And let me get to the last part because this is so nice. He said, I'll hear, first of all. And then he said, I'll forgive you, second of all, like gone, wipe it clean, start over, brand new, let's go. Okay. And then he said this, and I'll heal their land. That's what we need, you know. We need our land healed. What does that mean, heal their land? You see, what that means is that which has been affected by sin. You know, at one time God said, I'm going to give 70 years to the land because of the sins of my people. God has said to the land, you rest for 70 years. So the sin of the people can also put a curse on the land. I'll prove it to you. Adam and Eve sinned, and God, what did he do? Judge the earth. Briars and thistles and all kind of crazy things happened. No wonder Jesus wore a crown of thorns, redeeming the earth, if you please. And the and the judgment on the earth. If you ever redeemed it all, Christ sacrifices for everything, but especially for his people. And so he'll heal the land. You say, what does that mean? That means he'll heal your marriage. He can. He'll heal your family. It's so divided. He can. He can heal your children. You know how they've been. He can fix that. He can heal your assembly. He can heal relationships. He can heal your testimony. You ruined your testimony. You did stupid things, but you turned to God and you repented and you walked away from that bad testimony you had. And God says, watch this. I'll fix that. I can fix that. And so God's part is I'll hear, I'll forgive, and I'll heal. Is that what you would like? For you, for your family, for your church, for your city, for your nation. It's all here, folks. It's all here. You know the incredible thing? God lets you choose. Isn't that incredible? He lets you choose. Here's what you do. You find out, who am I? Got to know who you are. Who's God? Got to know who he is. I got to pray. I got to seek his face. I got to turn from my wicked ways. And God said, I can work with somebody like that. Do you qualify? Do you need help? Do you need understanding? Do you need peace? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need a new start? These are the elements. And God's waiting. He wants to hear, he wants to forgive, and he wants to heal. Wouldn't you just like to respond to that right now? I would. I kind of like to respond to it, and I am responding to it. My goodness. What a God. What love. What forgiveness. What promises. And you're going to sit there and say, well, I don't know about that. Well, what don't you know? You got enough understanding to make a decision. God help you make the right decision today. Let's pray. Father, I am absolutely thrilled that I can actually preach a message of forgiveness and healing. Oh God, who doesn't need forgiveness and healing? And it's available. And so I just commit everyone listening, everyone that might listen in the future to this message, for all of us, Lord, none of us are where we ought to be. We've not achieved, we have not apprehended, we have not made it yet, but we are trying. And we go forward and we say, thank you, O God, for your son, the Lord Jesus. And we ask your help, your blessing, and the Spirit's work in people's lives, even this very hour, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.